Thank you for donating more than $65,000 to Issues Etc. in the past month. And with 2 weeks left in 2013, we're $25,000 short of making budget. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift online at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. Send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us at the end of the year.
He has the right, Phil Robinson, to say exactly what he wants to say. This is America, but this is what happens when you have true freedom of speech. You can say these things, and then you have to suffer the consequences. Look at what happened to Paula Deen when she made comments when she was accused of using the N-word and admitted to it. It's offensive to me. I do believe in the right to free speech, but I think the marketplace should decide what should happen to this franchise, and it has been put on hold now. It's deeply offensive to many people, and it shows that a lack of awareness on the part of certain individuals in this country when it comes to how other people live and the rights that other people should have.
That's CNN anchor and reporter Don Lemon reacting last night on Piers Morgan Live to the A&E channel suspension of Duck Dynasty's Phil Robertson for comments that he made about homosexuality during an interview with GQ magazine. Joining us to talk about this issue, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway. She's a senior editor for The Federalist and author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Duck Dynasty's Phil Robertson Knew Exactly What He Was Doing. Molly, welcome back to Issues Etc.
It's great to be here.
How do you respond to Don Lemon, CNN anchor and reporter, when he says, look, free speech, but the market will decide, and this is what happens if you decide to exercise your free speech?
Well, that's not the part of what he said that's problematic. If you could see me, my mouth dropped when he said, you need to have awareness about how other people live. Yes, I think it's good to be aware that not everybody lives like you. Maybe Don Lemon could start with that and realize that not everybody is an elite media figure who lives in, where I don't know where he is, New York, and is gay and whatnot. There are people in the country who do not share the values and views of Don Lemon, and he needs to learn that, and he needs to figure out how to live in a society where not everybody thinks that the current sexual morality of Miley Cyrus and, you know, President Obama had the Obamacare had a gay Rudolph come out yesterday to encourage people to sign up for Obamacare. You know, we have this week we also saw endorsement of polygamy. These things are all allowed in our culture. These things are all, you can have an opinion like that, but you're not allowed to have an opinion about homosexuality as it's viewed in the Bible. Yeah, A&E has the right to do whatever they want with their shows, including firing someone for being Christian. But that's not really what the issue is here. We're talking about much larger things, like how can we all engage with each other when we don't all share the same views? And I would just suggest that Don Lemon's view of tolerance is extremely narrow and extremely limited. Basically, so long as you agree with him, you're welcome in the elite cultural spaces. And if you don't, well, then you should be shunned and you should lose your show. That seems a little extreme to me.
What's your general thought as you've watched the reaction to the suspension of Phil Robertson unfold?
Well, I mean, there's so many different things that you can talk about here. It's all kind of interesting. Obviously, the media have had an interesting reaction to it. They seem to exist in a space where the only sin that exists is believing that sin exists. It's also been interesting to see Christian reaction, because the reason that this guy got canned from his show was because he gave this lengthy interview to GQ, and part of what he said was he used salty language, he was kind of explicit in parts, so some Christians are reacting negatively to that, and rightly so, I'd say. And yet, also, I think everybody realizes he wasn't fired for being salty. He was let go because he expressed a belief in alignment with 1 Corinthians. In fact, he was summarizing 1 Corinthians, which is what got him in trouble. So there are interesting questions all around, I'd say.
When you say summarizing 1 Corinthians, what exactly do you mean?
Well, the interview was in GQ magazine, and he was asked about his views on sin. I don't have it in front of me, but he actually just gave a summary of some of the sins that are listed in 1 Corinthians that are to be avoided, including homosexuality. But that's the one that people are upset about. And he did lead with when he was talking about sin, he did lead by talking about homosexuality.
Okay. Now, you've written recently about an observation made by Doug LeBlanc that Phil Robertson perhaps knows exactly what he's doing here. This wasn't just some guy who is not media savvy saying the wrong thing in the wrong venue and getting in trouble for it. What's the premise here? What's the theory?
Well, and I speak as someone who I'm familiar with Duck Dynasty, and I've watched one of the shows, but that's the extent of my knowledge of it. But Doug comes from Louisiana, and I think he knows a little bit more about the Robertson family. And he was saying that Phil Robertson knew exactly what he was doing when he made his remarks to GQ. And he said that because Phil has previously bristled against the way A&E kind of cuts out some of the Jesus talk that they have in their family. I mean, anyone who's watched the show knows that the Christianity of the family is explicit, and each show ends with the family gathered in prayer or something else religious. But Phil has previously bristled about how they take out a lot of the Christianity in the show, and so he thinks that he knew what he was doing by forcing the issue here.
So in other words, he was just tired of having his life as it was presented on reality TV, albeit edited.
Yeah, I think what Doug was saying is he's grown weary of accommodating A&E's programmers, and he does not care at all if Don Lemon or other people think that he's a loser for having these views.
Some of it, and it doesn't take a rocket scientist or an economist or a media expert to observe that A&E doesn't have a lot going for it at this point, except for Duck Dynasty, and it's a huge show. It's enormous.
Yeah, it's apparently just an absolutely huge show. It was a very curious marketing decision. I think it really speaks to the division that we have in this country right now. You have a certain sector of the populace that just, they will not tolerate even the slightest bit of dissent on sexual morality. And the weird thing about it is the people that they're against are the people with traditional sexual mores. And then you have, on the other hand, people who do still hold to the Christian understanding of sexual norms. And this divide is perfectly seen in A&E's handling of this topic. They make all their money from traditional Christians, but then they just had to kowtow to people who wanted to see action, to see firing of this Phil Robertson character. So it's a perfect way to look at the divide that we have in our country right now. But I really think it speaks to larger issues. I mean, you're seeing that tolerance is becoming kind of a one-way street. On the one hand, you're expected to be tolerant of everything, including polygamous marriage, same-sex marriage, whatnot, these types of things. And you're seeing that the general American population is like, okay, I guess we're okay with that. And then, on the other hand, you're getting sued if you don't make a cake for a wedding. You're getting sued if you don't photograph a same-sex wedding. You're getting sued if you don't do the flowers for a wedding. You're getting canned from a show if you simply say that you believe differently than other people. And so this tolerance seems to be going one way, but it's not being given back by the other team. And it's just a very problematic thing to see. And I think the country as a whole, we don't all share the same views. We should probably figure out pretty quickly, can we tolerate people who believe differently? If so, how? Or must we enforce groupthink on everybody?
Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to spend some more time with Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, senior editor for The Federalist. She's written a recent column for The Federalist titled Duck Dynasty, Phil Robertson Knew Exactly What He Was Doing. What do you think about Phil Robertson of Duck Dynasty being suspended from A&E? What do you think ought to happen? What should A&E do? I want to hear from you. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-IE. Send us an email right here in the studio. We get them in real time. TalkBack@issuesztc.org. TalkBack@issuesztc.org. Or we have left space at our Facebook fan page for you to leave your reaction to the suspension of Phil Robertson from A&E's Duck Dynasty. Facebook.com/issuesztc. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Messiah Lutheran, Seattle, Washington. Grace Lutheran, McPherson, Kansas. St. Paul's Lutheran, Bridgeport, Nebraska, Our Savior Lutheran, Raleigh, North Carolina, St. Paul Lutheran, Hancock, Maryland, Messiah Lutheran, Keller, Texas, St. John's Lutheran, Maple Grove, Minnesota, Grace Lutheran, Parker, Colorado, and Our Redeemer Lutheran, Harrington, Kansas. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe that traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers, showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is our guest. We're talking about A&E's channel, the channel suspension of Duck Dynasty's Phil Robertson, for comments he made to GQ magazine about homosexuality. Molly, Sean in Fergus Falls, Minnesota, has this to say: before we start condemning A&E for essentially firing Mr. Robertson, we should think about how we would react to this if the network was Christian. Would they not fire an employee for making public comments in support of the LGBT agenda, which they felt were not in compliance with their own values? What are your thoughts there?
Oh, I think it's an absolutely great point for two reasons. One, I think it's important that people not speak of this as a free speech issue. Phil Robertson still retains First Amendment rights to express himself and his religious views. Getting fired, you're not guaranteed a job. A&E has every right in the world to fire whomever they want. But what I think is even more interesting about what Sean says is that basically everyone in our country is in a church. Everyone's in a religious system, but only certain people realize they are. Like, we would see if we saw a Christian network, like, oh, those people are religious, they have certain views, and if you are doctrinally different than those people, you might lose your job, and that makes sense because it's a church. But the same thing is true with A&E and every other network and every other sort of elite media institution. They also are a church, and they punish heretics so much more than any church in the country would. If you deviate from their doctrine that homosexual sex is a wonderful thing, well, you will get fired, and you'll get fired quickly. So I think it's important that we realize that everyone holds doctrinal views. Christians, traditional Christians, retain the understanding that sex is a gift from God to be given in marriage between one man and one woman. The culture at large does not pretty much agree with any of that. They think sex should be done outside of marriage, before marriage. Adultery can be approved of in the pages of the New York Times, polygamy, polyamory, homosexual sex, all sorts of things. They also hold doctrinal positions on sex, and their view is that the only thing you can't do about sex is say that it should be done only within marriage. That's their idea of what sin is to retain a traditional understanding of sin. But I think that Christians should be very aware that there's no way of sort of sitting on the sidelines in this debate. You're either in one church or you're in the other.
Okay, and with that said, and I completely agree with you, I'm not a lawyer and I don't know what Phil Robertson's contract looked like, but I'm pretty sure it probably didn't have a clause saying you can't say anything against homosexuality. It was probably just a very broad morality or conflict of interest kind of clause there, but which they exercised to suspend him. Okay, they have the right to do that. If it were a Christian network, I'm pretty sure they would say, "Look, these are the beliefs we expect you to espouse or not to contradict. I think it would, in that case, it would be a little more specific. It kind of goes with what you're saying. It's just that Christianity is a little more upfront about the doctrines it affirms, whereas the church of kind of secular leftism leaves it open. And you'll find out when we fire you.
Right. Yeah, no, it is. I don't know what the contract said or whatnot either. And I think that probably attorneys are working on this as we speak. And that might have been why he was only indefinitely suspended as opposed to fired or whatnot. But the battle lines are just becoming more clear every day. And I think what people find alarming and why they talk about this in terms of it being a free speech issue, when really it's not, it's more a cultural issue of what our culture tolerates. Because they're scared about how this, what this means for them. If Phil Robertson, who's driving more money to the A&E network than ever thought imaginable, can get fired, what about us? How do we have to be quiet? How do we have to pretend that we don't believe what we do? How do we have to, silence ourselves or whatnot? So I think that's why people are paying attention to this and why they're taking it more personally than the elite media might realize.
Kevin listens in Ohio, got a great question. He says, do you think that the gay rights movement may have overplayed their hand on this one?
I don't know. I mean, it seems like our culture is definitely embracing sexual liberty more than speech rights or religious liberty or anything like that. I keep being kind of alarmed at what I see in the culture and our lack of tolerance for people who believe differently, but I would like to think they overplayed their hand, but I don't know. We'll have to see. My own thinking is just it's not healthy for a population to have this type of way of talking to each other. We have to deal with the fact that some people believe that sexual liberty is the highest value, and some people retain traditional Christian teachings or other religious teachings or even natural law teachings or whatever it might be that are in conflict with that. And if we don't figure out how to do that, we're going to have some pretty hostile day-to-day environments and just a nasty sort of unfree way of existing with each other. So I would hope that people on all sides of the issue, whether no matter what your views are, would see that this is just not a healthy way for people to interact. I think people take offense too easily, and that goes for all parties. You see things on TV all the time that you disagree with. I mean, Don Lemon says, I can't remember exactly what his words were, but he's talking about how offended he is. Does he have no clue how offended so many Christians are by what they see on TV and why they can't even watch primetime programming with their kids? And, there's so many things out there that you may or may not agree with. I think we have to just learn how to tolerate it more and learn how to talk to each other about what we don't like about it, why we don't like something, without immediately going to firings and shunning and whatnot.
Derek says, Phil Robertson's beliefs are no secret. Today it's no longer okay to be a man of convictions, especially if they include superstitious beliefs or an outdated source. This is nothing new. Look at what happened to John the Baptizer when he confronted Herod. It will be interesting to see how the story pans out. What's your reaction there?
Well, I think that's another lesson Christians should take from this is, the time is here now when saying that someone shouldn't cheat on their wife or that someone shouldn't have sex before marriage or that they shouldn't have gay sex. The time right now is such that if you say these things, you are shunned by many communities in our world. What is the Christian response to that? Is it to cower and hide? Is it to speak boldly? Is it to figure out how to talk with people who reject the very idea of sin? I mean, the church can respond to this by freaking out and being upset at how far the culture has gone, or the church can think about its purpose and how it wants to witness to a lost and broken people. And certainly when you look at the history of the Christian church or even the global situation for Christians right now, people in America still have it pretty good. I mean, you're going to get fired, yeah. You're going to get shunned by friends, yeah. But you're not going to get killed like half the Christians are throughout the world in half the countries throughout the world where you're not even allowed to be Christian, you're not allowed to worship, you're not allowed to convert to Christianity or whatnot. So we should keep some perspective there. John the Baptist is a great example here. He lost his head for saying these things. Phil Robertson is just going to go back and sit on his big pile of cash. I don't want to belittle what he's going through, because it's certainly not something that you would wish on anyone, but this is not a John the Baptist situation.
Molly, before we let you go, I want your reaction to a line of questioning that Piers Morgan was pursuing during an interview Monday night with Ann Coulter. He's asking her about conservatives and the new pope, Pope Francis.
Tell me why the right seem to have some big issue with a man who appears to be non-bigoted, incredibly humble, a force for good, somebody perhaps revolutionizing an anachronistic church, dragging them kicking and screaming into the real world. He believes in open church, open Christianity,
well, yeah.
All inclusive. They'll take anybody. Unlike you lot, who are so dogmatic that you have to be, you know, right of Genghis Khan to even be acceptable.
Molly, what's your take on Piers Morgan's line of questioning there?
I feel that's kind of cruel to ask anyone what they think about a blowhard like Piers Morgan. But that is the type of question that says everything about Piers Morgan and his type of people and nothing about Francis or the church or the Catholic Church or whatnot. I think it's just so interesting that he thinks that the Christian church, which has been existing with the poor, the sick, the wounded, the spiritually damaged for 2,000 years, he calls it what, anachronistic, and that Francis is only now dragging the church into the real world. That church and the Christian church in general has more to do with the real world than Piers Morgan could ever touch with his pinky, I imagine. And this speaks so much to the way the media are self-centered. They like what Francis is saying now because they perceive him to be giving it to pro-lifers or giving it to traditional marriage advocates or whatnot. There's a lot one could say about Francis, but it would probably behoove figures in the media to think more about what Francis is saying to them and less about what he's saying against traditional-minded believers.
With only about a minute here, Molly, let's bring this together. I've heard you say it several times here in the course of our conversation that, you know, Christians really need to just understand that we can't simply sit on the sidelines when it comes to these matters, that we need to be prepared to be, I'm gonna coin a verb, okay, intolerated. By the culture, and on the other side, that the culture needs to maybe a lesson in what true tolerance is. What are your final thoughts with the minute?
Yeah, I think that it is a good idea for Christians to wake up, assess the situation, and basically decide right now what you're going to do. I think a lot of Christians, they hate the culture wars. I know that, in fact, probably everybody hates them. You know, you just get so weary. You just want to be getting ready for Christmas, and now all of a sudden you have to weigh in on Facebook about tolerance and free speech and Paul and 1 Corinthians and whatnot. It can get tiresome. And the fact is, this is the world we live in, and you have to either speak up or not, and think about what you have to offer. I mean, I think a lot of Christians might be able to sort of bridge the divide between the people who were offended by what Phil said and the people who and Phil himself. I mean, I think that we should think about how to talk to everybody, regardless of whether we agree with their sexual lifestyles or not, and be humble as we reflect on the sin that is in all of us.
Molly Ziegler, Hemingway's senior editor for The Federalist, author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Duck Dynasty's Phil Robertson Knew Exactly What He Was Doing. You could read it under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Molly, thank you very much.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to spend the last hour of Issues Etc. on this Thursday afternoon, December the 19th, going through listener email. There's a lot of it. I hope we can get to most of it. And the Issues Etc. comment line as well. By the way, that comment line is open 24/7 for your questions, your comments, your show suggestions, your criticisms. We try to respond to as much of it as we possibly can. And the number, anytime you want to use it, 618-223-8382. 618-223-8382. That's the Issues Etc. comment line. We'll hear your comments from the comment line and your email right after this.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things, the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us, broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another, and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155.